This is Mike with Exit 714 and
the dog,
also known as Brian Upson. Valerie's here, Shane's here, Chris is here, and we are all swingers.
Podcast episode 47. My name is Chris.
I'm Shane Presley.
I'm Mike Cullen. You're on the mic with Mike.
Look at that. He's just, you can do the intro. I'm totally cool. We're here with the guys from Exit 714. How do you say it? Is it 714 or 714?
Exit 714.
That makes sense. I don't know if it did. Yeah, we're Exit 7-1-4.
No big deal.
It's all good.
And you're here with the dog.
It's Brian Upson, a.k.a. the dog. Rhythm guitarist / coffee maker.
Professional coffee maker. He's gone pro. So how you guys doing? Thanks for having us over and hanging out here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming over. It's awesome.
Doing pretty good, actually. Pretty good. Thank you for asking.
I wasn't asking you. I was just asking him. I mean,
How's my man Shane doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
Wearing a shirt that says beers.
This is fresh off the print, man. I picked this up last night at the Real Big Fish show.
I can actually smell the freshness coming off of you.
You can smell the Real Big Fish.
We should call ourselves the Febreze Brothers.
That'll be the side.
I'm so fresh.
I'm feeling
right now.
So fresh.
Side project.
This is MTV Kurt Loder here. This just in. Kanye West is pronounced dead at the age of 44. Investigators say that the cause of death was a massive paper airplane beatdown by competing artist Weezer. More details to come.
That sounds really good. You got good levels up on the mic. Beautiful. Weezer now doing jail time.
Kanye, you are terrible.
We just got to get that out of there.
Shots fired.
What about Beck, though? Is Beck cool?
Beck is my homies, you know what I mean? Let me just go ahead and say... I'm pretty sure Beck produced their own album. I'm pretty sure that Beck played the instruments on their album.
He plays like 80 instruments.
And I'm pretty sure that Beck actually wrote the lyrics to their own album as well. So that's why Beck gets the award, Kanye. That's why.
Is Beck older, too? I feel like Beck's probably got seniority over him, too. He's been in the music business since the 90s.
So when you talk about people being musical influences... And what they've done for us, we might want to go with the guy that actually made his own music, Kanye, okay?
So we have to mark off, we have like every time we bash somebody on the show, we have to mark them off of our list of people we can't have. So we can't have Kanye West on the show anymore.
I would love to have Kanye West on the show. I would get down with Kanye West. Like, I would totally rush his stage like he does everybody else's when they win Grammys.
There you go.
But did you see how Beck, did you see how he called him up? He was like, come on up.
Come back, I need your help.
Come on up. He's like, let's talk about your recent work.
Yeah. He would have played it off well. Where's your Grammy? And he's like, here. Does he have Grammys? Does Kanye West have any Grammys?
You know what?
I don't even
Kanye know. West has grannies, and that's all that matters.
He's about to have an extra one. Bruce Jenner changes genders, too.
Kanye West has... Never mind.
So you guys
don't even want to talk about
two shows coming up.
Two shows, three shows. Something like that.
You plan on February 28th. You're headlining that one, right? At the Mad Magician.
Yeah, we got Hollow Point Heroes, Silent Hollow, and Tommy Crane's band.
Trip two.
And Hollow Point's our boys. We've been playing with them for
years.
I can't even remember how long. A long time.
Years
since almost day one, pretty much. And then Silent Hollow is some of our friends from our area here in St. Charles, so they're cool. And Trip 2 is our former drummer's band, T. Crane.
And I actually have some insider information on that band, Trip 2 with T. Crane. There's going to be a new bass player performing that night, and you might want to check it out. He is also a former member of our band, Ryan Pauk. I mean, Beach.
Ryan Powell.
No, I'm just kidding. It's actually Andrew the Beege Master. And he's also a former member of Derailed, Exit 714, Barry Manilow.
That's where I gotta start.
And now Trip 2.
But yeah, that's gonna be a good show, man. We're looking forward to that one at the Mad Magician. And then we're gonna do another show, I believe, in April.
April 12th
with Head PE and
Alien Ant Farm.
Smooth Criminals.
Alien Ant Farm.
Okay, Alien Ant.
It's a back-to-back show.
I think we're doing another one with them maybe in like Joplin or something.
Springfield.
Yeah.
With Alien Ant Farm or Head PE?
Yeah, both.
So, oh, okay, gotcha.
Same show.
Same kind of, gotcha.
I'm not.
It's going Springfield to St. Louis.
I just show up where I need to be and play music. I don't even.
That's right.
I'm surprised. I was. God, it was probably like 6 or 7 months ago, I found myself listening to an Alien Ant Farm album. I was like, oh yeah. And then saw they're still touring around. I'm like, good for them.
Let's be honest right now, me, because I don't listen to them. Are they any good? Was their albums any good?
Their first album was pretty good.
I'll say the
it.
First one, yeah. And then, I mean, that's where they got most of their stuff from. I think the second one had, I think, did it have Attitudes on it? I can't remember what the other
that
one
was. That was in the first album,
was
too.
Was it the first one?
I gotta tell you guys right now, Shane's like me. He's like, I have no effing clue because I'm not the biggest fan and I don't know, but I've heard their name a lot.
Yeah.
We know that they're out there.
Yeah. Well, good for them, though, because then they're in, like, a bus wreck, too, and, like, dude, like, broke his back, so that's why they were off for a while. But
that's right.
Yeah.
That's 100% right. I totally forgot about all that.
But good for those guys. And
we'll see you guys soon.
And you guys have played with Head PE, right, before?
Oh, yeah.
Lots.
Lots
of times, yeah. I mean, we maybe six or seven times, maybe.
Probably more like 13, 14 times for sure.
They come through like two or three times
a year. Yeah, it's been a lot more than six or seven, I can tell you that. The dog, a.k.a. Tartar Hound, is sauced right now, so.
Well, that's for a later time, but we're good friends with their drummer, Jeremiah, and yeah, every time they come through, they generally like hit us up, you know, and we... Obviously, love playing them. Head P's awesome live, and they're always, you know, put on a good show. And they like to.
You know why I like Head P so much is because A, Jeremiah is my homie, and he is cool as shit. It's like he literally every time that we play with him, and you can mark my words, whenever we play with him, if you stand there, you'll watch him. He will go to the side of the stage every time that we play, and he listens to our whole set almost, and he like gets down on the side of the stage, unlike. I mean,
and it's so
name cool. anybody yeah. else that comes off their bus and even comes close to listening to some local band, you know what I mean?
Most national acts that we open for, and we do a lot of that these days, is that they don't, a lot of them don't even know who you are, you know?
They don't care.
They don't care. You're backstage with them. I mean, you see them hanging out backstage and stuff like that, but, you know, some of them are cool. I'm not saying everybody is, but, like, Head PE... It's awesome because they will sit there and watch you and fucking mosh with you.
And jam out and then drink with you afterwards and then kick it all night long.
And then go other places.
Those are some real dudes. I like those guys a lot.
Yeah. I've said a lot too about Jared, about how like the guy, you know, gets out there, he mingles with the fans, he takes pictures, signs whatever, like sells all his own merch and stuff. I mean, he does everything for the people that are paying his bills, you know, like that's what it's nice to see that people that appreciate the ones that are coming out to the shows and stuff. And
yeah,
some people just like they seem to be burdened by being a rock star at times, you know. It's like,
which is weird.
Yeah, it's like you grew up, that's all you wanted to be, and now you're like bothered by it that you don't want to be have anybody talking to you and signing autographs.
Yeah, very weird that you want to play a show and put out a party like that and then not hang out with anybody that's at the party. It's weird,
right?
It's like, no, man.
That's not how we are.
That's not how we are at all. But that's why I like it. I mean, I think that's why we play with Head PE so much, too, man. Yeah. It's like, I grew up loving Head PE.
Yeah.
And now we play with them all the time. And their tour manager literally knows us and requests us when we come to play with them because we're all, like, good friends. He knows that we can put on a show with them and not, you know, we're not like a bunch of Nancys that need babysitting up on stage and whatever, because right. that does happen where people come unprepared and you know.
Even national acts we've seen that we play with come unprepared.
Yeah.
And some of these guys that, you know, pay to be on tours and stuff like that, you know, because they have the money to do it, you know, that's great if you want to like live your dream and go on a tour with a band that you like, but the bands that are actually out there working hard and
yeah, most of them.
Grinding and shit. These are the people that know what they're doing and, like, know what they want to, what kind of, you know, sound they want to put out there for everybody. So, I don't know.
I feel like there's certain, like, bands that can have, like, that, like, U2 or somebody who's, like, huge like that. But, like, most bands now, like, you don't really have that ability to be like, oh, I'm too big for this. You know, because there's not really that big, like, money to be, you know,
no,
it's
there's not
a good thing anymore. Now it's, everybody's kind of struggling just to be able to tour and stuff, you know, and so I don't know anybody why they would. That. Well, did you just open it and make a noise on the.
It's a Mountain Dew, got a name!
Surge, dude.
I love Surge.
Got it off Amazon.
God, I used.
Shane did that. Shane
what?
Did
you that. Got? You found some Surge?
Yeah, I still have one in my fridge. The rest of the case got destroyed pretty quickly.
An old school N64 night.
Yeah, right. Yeah, playing some Goldeneye. And,
if you ever came over to 47 Argonne Court as a kid and 10 bucks, I know you're out there, you would know about the Surge. My mom was like, everybody had either a friend or it was either their mom or they had a friend that had a mom. That literally would like just buy all kinds of like soda and stuff for all the kids to play with, and there was always like usually one house that everybody came to. Well, my house was the house, and my mom would stock a refrigerator downstairs full of Surge and crystal clear Pepsi.
That's dangerous.
Because I'm pretty sure they gave that shit away.
Yeah.
So we would get jacked up on Surge to see how much we could drink and then have all out Nerf warfare in my basement all night long.
And play Goldeneye.
Goldeneye wasn't even out at that time.
Yeah, I used to play Goldeneye and drink Surge like a
yeah, well, like my
some pizza rolls and
I forgot to ask, can we curse on this?
Oh, yeah.
It's podcast, dude.
I didn't know if they were trying to be family friendly.
Welcome to internet radio.
We're going to play this at the church later, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sweet.
105 the Savior.
My Lord.
Let's break this fucking down!
you guys mentioned HollowPoint. We had those guys on the show a while back. They're friends of the show, and obviously friends in real life too.
Went to high school with Mike and Todd.
But I was telling that story the other day about when I took you to your first HollowPoint show. I was they were playing at Voodoo Lounge, and I sent you a text and I said, "Come on, see these guys," and I think you. He showed up, and then we rocked out, and then it's fun to see that like that started then, and now you guys are like on every show together a lot of time, you know, playing a lot of shows together, and how this you guys become good friends, and because you don't see that a lot with a lot of these bands, everybody's always
competing.
But it's fun to see that you guys have like a brotherhood going, you know, where you guys all get along and hang and. Totally. Play the shows together
and to be honest with you, like our band now, like, you know, they have like Pops and all these other places have like all these you know, competitions for like battle for this, and we hate doing that.
Yeah, that's because what we were raised in, is doing battles, and it really didn't do positive things for people.
Yeah, I mean, it just really, you know, I mean, some bands, and you know, HollowPoint was in that with us at the beginning too for a while, but now we're at the point now we're just like, you know, we would just want to play good shows.
Yeah, I don't want a lot of battle. That, and we want to play shows
with bands like HollowPoint and like other bands in our genre, but you know, not just bands in our genre, but also bands that like we want to be cool with and that are fun, that we know that are going to make the show fun. Because whenever we set up a show, it's not like, okay, we're just going to go and set up and play. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, I want to have a good time while I'm there. I don't want to just go set up and play. Sure. I want to go bring a bunch of friends. Bring a bunch of fans, family, whoever's coming,
friends,
and throw
family,
a party.
You know, people, and then we also obviously try to get a lot of different bands too that we've never played with before to try to, you know, get some exposure for those bands too, and you know, meet new people that are in the same, you know, local scene, and not even just like our genre too. Like, I mean, we play tons of shows with like Unify. Like, we're really good friends with those guys, and they're, you know, those guys are awesome. Like reggae. Style, you know, a Sublime style stuff, and we love them. So, like, we try to get them on Midwest Avengers, you know, the hip hop rock aspect. So, we're totally open to everything, and like, we just want to, you know,
Brian's open to everything. I want everybody to know that.
Well,
yeah. Continue.
In a respectable manner.
Continue, Brian. The dog is open 24/7 to everything.
Don't even have to ask. Just show up.
Totally my hat now.
And tune in next week when we have Tartar and Copter on the show.
Oh, Tartar and Copter, the law firm. I've heard about those guys. They get down.
One guy has an eye patch. The other...
It's a hockey injury. Don't bring that up in front of him.
It's still tough. He never got to fill out his dream of playing.
I think if you dial all eights, you'll get right to their hotline.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on.
So ultimately, if there's ever a fight between HollowPoint Heroes and you guys would be able to kick their ass, though, right?
Ultimate fighting?
If there's
ultimate fighting? There's, you know what? I actually had that idea for bands.
That's the real battle of the bands.
Years ago, I was like, forget this fucking battle of the bands. Let's just have a straight out like battle of the bands, and we'll have like a tag team kind of thing where either you nominate one person in your band or you got to like do two maybe, but let's just throw down. And see what, you know, heavy metal's all about, boys. Of course, I would not be one of the members of the fight or the battle. We would most likely send the dog.
Me versus Mikezilla, dude. No problem.
Junkyard Dog versus Hacksaw Jim Dugan.
Fully equipped with the 2x4 and American flag, or what was it he carried out
right.
the ring?
That's 100%.
Good times.
It's Duggan, but whatever.
That's all right. That's
Junkyard Dog will be there.
Is he still alive? You kind of have to get to the point now. You have to look and see if some of these guys are alive.
Yeah.
Some of the wrestlers are kind of dropping.
You're right.
You know?
God, that showed some age. Yeah, speaking of age, I turned older this week. I just turned 25, so... Ladies, I'm 25 now.
You can rent a car.
Yeah, I got.
No, if you're interested, you gotta go out and.
Your insurance went down in your car.
You're damn right.
I got all that surge from my older brother. That's what it was.
Yeah. You know, my older brother did two things, three things actually. He was a valedictorian of our high school, which I think all of us went to.
Yeah.
Really? You guys went to Timberland?
Well, we went.
You're a Timber. Oh,
I'm Timberland.
Come on now.
Yeah. Holt, okay, see, you're from...
I'm original.
I see.
We were actually the very first year that Timberland was invented.
Yes.
My class got split up, and that was the very first
the
year.
The reject stayed at Holt and Shane.
It was at that time, it was funny because I just feel like the lines, were, you know, the development wasn't there yet. So they took, like, I don't even know. The guys that got sent to the other school, they had to, like, physically try to make a basketball team out of. And the other ones, I was like, you know, that's...
I think for the first year, I think we still shared with Holt, right? Wasn't, like, everybody try out for one team.
No. At my year, they literally... The very first year that Timberland was ever created, it was the year that our class got separated. And the first basketball team, the Sharks... were formed out there. And my old bass player, former bass player Ryan Pauk, was actually a Shark. And they wore teal. And their shorts were way too short. That was one of their biggest problems.
Did Ryan Pauk, do you know where he lived during that time?
Oh, yeah.
Where was he, off Summers Road?
Oh, yeah.
I lived right
Double
down the
D.
street. Right down the street. Foxwood Estate.
Foxwood, dude. I know all about Foxwood. Now there's a damn school on top of it.
My sister still lives up there. Yeah, I used to live right down the street.
Yeah, he had like a sinkhole in his backyard.
Yeah,
so sometimes it used to be a lake, and sometimes it would be just a huge piece of land.
Foxwood.
That's
Foxwoods.
It. Foxwood.
Foxwood Estates. Yeah, now there's a school right there, too.
But so. I gotta tell you, man, when they split us up in the old high school, our year, it wasn't fair. I'll tell you right now, we played them in basketball, and our coach literally made us, he said that we could only dribble left-handed. I swear to God, that's not even a lie. They said we had to dribble left-handed. They literally had the Poole brothers that had never played basketball a day in their life, ever, on the team. They had Rocky Steele, he had one nut. I don't want to throw that out there, but he had one ball. I don't think he had ever played basketball in his entire life. They had Ross Hoidl. He was putting in work. They had Shane Wood out there. No, wait. Did I have think I had Shane? No, we had Shane Wood. I had Shane Wood.
That was Dan Copter, dude.
They had John Burton. John Burton out there, ladies and gentlemen. He was definitely the whitest black guy you've ever met in your entire life. I grew up with him since fourth grade. I think that was, and Jeff Albers, and he smoked so much fucking weed that it was like he never even showed up to the game. So they made us play left-handed.
I appreciate that.
Sorry, fellas.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, Timberland.
High school memories.
High school. What were we talking about high school anyway?
I don't remember.
Why'd we get there?
I asked if you guys, because I thought we all went to Timberland.
We did.
We went there, but he's a year older than I was, so he was part of the split. We all went to Wentzville.
Why were we talking about Wentzville in the first place, fellas?
I don't know. Come on. What's next on the agenda?
We'll talk about the record. Beer Dog. How's
Beer
it?
Dog.
Beer.
It's my name.
Bear Dog? Yeah, Bear
Dog.
Dog's
Sorry,
the newest one.
It's Beer Dog. It's Bear Dog. Sorry.
Bear Dog's the newest one, and it is a 8-track consisting of voicemail. We should listen to that one right now. Do we have speakers out there? Let's listen to voicemail. No.
Yeah. It's our second record. We recorded it at Trailer Studios with Rich.
Yeah, Rich Crab.
Again, who is awesome to work with.
Yeah, he did Junk Deals also, right?
Yeah, he did our first album, Junk Deals, too, which had 12 tracks.
The Wizard.
Rich the Wizard. And, yeah, it was awesome. And what else about it? It's selling good.
You know, I have no idea what you're even just talking about.
I love Bear Dog, man. That it's fun to like because I just at work tonight actually was rocking out to both of them, Junk Deals and Bear Dog, and I just get me fired up for the show. And it's fun to hear the progression and how you guys the sound has evolved and things and just the new direction. I mean, I feel like. It's just like it's a heavier album, in my opinion, and I don't know. I just I really dig it. It's a great record.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse.
Yeah.
It changed a lot.
It's always like that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you guys have a very kind of eclectic sound where it's not, you know, not just all heavy or you know, you got, but you got like there's some hip hop influence. There's some, you know, I like
classic rock influence.
Yeah, you can hear the classic rock. You can hear Tools kind of you know, more.
Well, that's kind of how we built like the band on it. Because before I was in the band, they were actually, Mike was one of the original members.
A guitar player.
Mike actually would play guitar in the original Exit 714, and Pauk played bass.
Yeah.
And then they were a cover band, and I had never heard of them, and I actually met you through a friend of a friend, right?
Yeah, friend of a friend.
Playing golf.
My roommate came home, and they was just like, hey, man.
After a round of golf, I played with a guy, went home, and I was jamming on the guitar a little bit. He's like, you should go talk to my roommate, Mike.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because he came home and he has no idea about music at all. So the way that he described it was, he's like, dude, there was this guy that we played golf with. And then we went home and he had like the biggest speaker setup you've ever seen. It was a half stack. Okay. We found out later it was a half stack.
Nothing crazy.
Pretty sure it was like crate, but whatever. And he's like, the most speakers you've ever seen. He just started rocking Rage Against the Machine, man. He's like, you would love him. Well, you know what? He was right. Upson, I did love Upson right when he came. He showed up in a van the first night. I think he borrowed it from his grandfather.
I borrowed my grandpa's van so I could bring all my gear up to jam with these guys.
And he showed up, and you know what? We got hammered. And then we played some music, and it was badass. And... Upson's been here the absolute longest in the band besides myself. That's for damn sure. And it's been a long time.
Yeah,
it's been like 8 years.
We went through a lot of stuff like in our band. You know, we were originally a 4-piece. And then, you know, things happen as far as...
5-piece.
Then we got Cordy, and that's a whole different story.
Then we got Cordy, and then that's when all the gays started coming out.
And that's why I get Wi-Fi at my house, because of his ears.
Yeah, I mean, close to me. So then we got Cordy, which is terrible, by the way, one of the ugliest human beings on the planet. But he can play the guitar.
Like nobody, man. He's awesome.
Yeah. He can play the fiddle pretty damn good, you know what I mean?
We love Cordy, for sure, but yeah, he was kind of
But
like,
we really hate him.
He was kind of like the final piece of the puzzle, and then...
Then somebody shook the puzzle up, and then
the
we had to find a new
again,
piece,
you know,
off of Amazon, which we did.
Then we got Cody.
No, we got Beej first.
Well, Beej.
We went from Beej, then we had like a couple bass players, then we went from Beej to Bean.
Which Bean is, he's good.
Which Bean rocks the house down, that's good.
He like fit perfectly with us, so Bean's going to be our bass player.
But the best thing about us is everybody that's been through our band and then is, you know, on the other side, every single one of us is all, we are all friends still. There's no bad blood anywhere when you're coming, like
none.
If you were ever any part of this, our band whatsoever, there's never been an ounce of bad blood between anybody. Mm-hmm. We're all still homies, we're all still friends, and...
We go to each other's
shows. The way
shows.
That it's supposed to be, man.
Yeah, I see Tommy out at a lot of your guys' shows and selling tickets for you guys and whatever he can do to help support the band still. And I think that's really cool to see that it is that way, because there are a lot of times that people hold grudges, you know, with bands that they're not in anymore. And
that's usually because bands think that they're way better than they really are.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then they have these heads that are just stupid. And it's not really about that. It's not about that. To me, it's all about just having fun.
Right.
It's like the guys that have come and gone. I mean, it wasn't like they have come and gone because, you know, that. We were just looking for somebody to fill a spot or anything. It was just because they fit our mold so well and we were friends and, you know, that's what we developed. Everything developed on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still our friends today. There's nothing bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, people can pick up Bear Dog.
Beer dog, right?
People can pick up bear dog. I mean, I got. Well, I think I have
pick up the beer dog. It's gonna be a little harder than picking up.
I have about 1,300 copies in my basement, so you can stop by anytime.
You get it on iTunes. What? You can listen on Spotify.
That's
CD fine. Baby. CD Baby. Yeah. Apparently, it's supposed to be on Pandora. I don't know if it is. It might be a lie.
That's it. That's in the works. And then we're getting our first album, Junk Deals, on Spotify now, too. We're working on that, too. So
definitely pick up a physical copy because it's got really cool artwork on there, too. Like
We don't play around like that.
Yeah, I love the, all the liner notes and everything. It's really cool to see and like that. You guys take the time to do that stuff because some people
That's how me and Mike grew up. We were in the age where whenever you bought a CD, almost every one of them had the lyrics in there.
And pictures that you were just like, look at these pictures. This is so cool.
Yeah, he's a skateboard to Blockbuster Music, you know. So I'd be like, what the hell is that guy saying this part, you know? I'm going to buy the CD because I love this song. I want to hear what this guy's saying. So, like, we grew up in the 90s, and that's how it was back then whenever CDs came out. So we're not going to stray away from that.
Yeah, I love artwork. That's why it's like we always put artwork into our CDs. And people, even when we're getting our CD like replicated, the people are telling me, they're like, are you sure you want to do all this? Like, because you know that people don't do this anymore, right? And I'm like, well, they should. You know what I mean? Like, stop talking them out of it.
Yeah.
And so we still pay. They're like, you're paying just crazy amounts of extra money for nothing. And I'm like, yeah, right. It's not nothing. You know what I mean? It's actual. If there's a music lover out there and they're like me, they're going to want the CD and they're going to want to open the book and they're going to want to look at it and see what's going
on. That's what I do. As soon as I buy a CD, I still buy CDs. I mean, I download them on my phone too because it's convenient, but I still always buy albums to support the artist.
I was listening to my record player today. Literally, while I was painting my basement, I pulled out my record player and listened to some Bob Marley vinyl just to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got a lot of vinyl at the house.
Me too. Tons of vinyl.
Oh, yeah, you are a vinyl collector.
I'm a collector as well. I got a ton of vinyl.
But I believe in that. I mean, I love having the physical product, and like we've just said, having that product in my hand, it's the complete experience of the enjoying the album, you know, instead of just getting, even though it is convenient to go on iTunes and get the songs right away, right, you know, but you know, I love going out to the show, picking up an album from a band, and then you know, getting it signed and everything, you know, having that product to take home and enjoy.
Unfortunately, that's not so the case anymore.
Yeah,
but you know.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just a lot of things have changed in 10 years or whatever of the music industry. It's kind of crazy how we live in a digital age now where people aren't even making any CDs. You know, like you said, they're not making the CDs. They just put it on iTunes. They just have the digital version of their album and they'll maybe give you like a download card or something like that at the show or. You know, it's just kind of crazy with that. It seems like in local music, though, like, there's still...
That's the cool thing about local music is that it's not so commercialized where you have to go to the shows to get the music or the merch or whatever. And that's, like, what's cool about it. Yeah. And there's so many, like... And unfortunately, in this day and age, everybody can make a record or anything in their basement almost now with, like, just the way it is. But the cool thing about local music is... you don't know what you're going to get yourself into when you get there. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the bands that you're going to see, you don't know. And especially in the rock genre, you go to a show, you know, there's going to be 4 or 5 bands playing. Maybe you won't like some of them. Maybe you will love some of them. But that's the cool thing about it. You just don't know. Sure. And it's kind of like old school in that way, because that's how people used to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about it. So, you know, obviously we all want to get our music out there, you know, and...
Yeah.
And it's like we want to get it out there, but it's also, I'll tell you right now, our band is not the band
aspect of it.
Our band is not the band that is just literally soul driven on making some record labels list of some sort. Because I'll tell you right now, it's almost like you just said, Shane. It's like today, it's like everything that our world that we live in is like digital, and our friends that we have are virtual.
Right.
And it's like if you want real authenticity, like you have to go out and do it. Like you have to just go out and do it. And that's why people say, like, why don't you guys have shows all the time? Or why aren't you blah 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 blah? Because I'm not even lying whatsoever. It's I like to live life and go out and do stuff and go as many places as I can possibly go, and then write music about it later and talk about like what was going on. You know what I mean? I'm not driven by I want to make a label or something like that. No, I just want to make music so that we can all just.
Yeah, we're not going to go out and just, like, show pony for some promoter, like, everywhere. You know, we, like, run the shows ourselves most of the times. Now, obviously, you know, we get the bigger shows, you know, at Pops and stuff with the national acts, and you got to go with the flow on those.
Right.
And that's cool. But the shows that we have and that we put out are, like, all us. You know, it's like every band gets pretty much however
yeah,
long
we
you
pay,
want to play.
Literally, when we put shows on, we pay the bands, and the bands sometimes are dumbfounded when I'm like, here's $200, and they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, we pay you. Exactly. Like, when we throw a show, it's like whatever money we make or however, you know, it went down is like you're going to get compensated. And it's not like you're going to make a killing off of it, but we're going to, you know, when we throw a show, the bands that we play with, they realize that we're not about making the money or doing whatever, like what money there is to be made, you know, but we're about having fun. And so they'll
be that's why we, like, whenever we put on our own shows, you know, like I said, you have to deal with the stuff whenever you want to play those big shows that pops with those big bands and stuff. And that's cool. Everybody, you have to go through the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's crazy because so many times whenever we throw a show, bands are like, how long, you know, is our set? It's like, we don't care.
It's like, how long do you guys want to play for? You're not going to play for like 2 hours, but how long do you want to play for?
We're not putting eight bands on the bill. We're putting like
three.
So
that we can listen to each band. Because you know what? Going up there and playing for 20 minutes, you don't get to experience that band.
Sure.
They might have just got warmed up after 20 minutes. Who knows?
Yeah.
You have no idea. It's like, we're not about trying to put a band out there to play for 20 minutes because that is what I like to call an act. Not like a set. Like, there's a set where you can come out and you can feel it, and then you can start flowing with the crowd, and before you know it, an hour and 15 minutes has passed, and that's when you know you played it well, because you have no idea where the time even went, but you're done. You know, your time's, it's an hour and 15 minutes is up. 20 minutes, that's an act. It's like you went up there and mic checked, and then you're off.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what we're about, and that's what too many people are about.
Yeah.
Are there other bands 100%. Out there that are setting up kind of their own shows that do that? Because it sounds like...
Yeah, there are. Yeah, there's
I really
bands
don't know.
Out there that, but, I mean,
I don't know
if they do it the way that we do it. I mean, obviously, everybody's got their own style of doing it, but we like to do it where we get, like, our friends...
We rent out the venue.
We at least rent out the venue. We'll
rent the venue so
friends.
That we don't have to worry about the venue. It's like, venue, you're out of the picture because we rented it.
Yeah.
And now all the terms are our own, and they're all definitely in the favor of entertainment, because instead of the favor of the dollar bill, you know what I mean? Where you go sometimes and it's about, hey, we got 19 bands on the bill in a 5-hour set. And it's like, how did you make that possible? It's like, we gave them all 12 minutes a piece.
Yeah, right.
Or there, and then there is those few club owners and promoters that are cool with that, and I think it's starting to get a little bit better than it's been. But some, you know, there's a few club owners and stuff that, you know, that we didn't necessarily rent out their place, but you know, they'll get us and say, hey, you know, you guys can pick the bands that you guys want to come play with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool because that doesn't happen all the time either.
Well, it seems like in St. Louis, at least, there's a lot more venues now than what there were, say, early 2000s. Because I remember it was Creepy Crawl, the Pageant, the Pit, and Winsville, and
Sally T's,
yeah, exactly.
And Sally T's was
Mississippi Nights.
I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, there's a place that just shut down recently too.
Gramophone.
Well, Gramophone, and there was a bigger place too.
Voodoo shut down, and that was a real heart. Like that sucked for me because I loved that place.
Oh yeah, we used to jam at Voodoo at the.
I loved Voodoo. I just loved it before I even was in a band. I loved going to Voodoo. I loved
when
the setup.
When you're way up in the air, up top.
I thought it was cool having the bartenders right there, and while you're while you're ordering a drink, you're still staring at the band, and it was cool.
Yeah,
it was much different than any other venue in the area for sure. So. But yeah, they just opened. Gramophone kind of closed, and then now they opened up like the bootleg is like, I guess it's attached to Atomic Cowboy down there in the Grove. I haven't been there, but they just had like the soft opening on Friday, and I'm excited to see what that's all about.
We just did
a show
down
at the Grove.
Yeah.
I did not like it though.
Ready Room.
Yeah, because I do not. I didn't like it at all. It was like it wasn't set up to be a music venue. It was like set up to be a warehouse.
They had it at like two separate venues.
Well, whatever it was, I can tell you the sound. Sometimes it's like venues don't take into consideration. It's like they'll put up a stage, they'll put up whatever, but they have no idea like what the sound is going to sound like. And then you put a live act in there, and sound is just bouncing off the walls everywhere, and it sounds terrible.
That's how I feel about FUBAR. Like, it just...
Same thing.
It's a nice little room, but it's so damn loud in there,
you can't hear anything because it's bouncing. The waves are, like, going all over the place, and it's like you can't, you know, your ears don't pick all that up.
Yeah.
But we are here at the dog's house, 105 to the decimal point. I just found this on so his far. Refrigerator, and I'd like to read it out loud. It says, Brian and Val, thank you both for being a huge part of our special day. We appreciate everything you did to help us prepare for that day. Thank you also for the kitchen towel and the coasters that you see are already in good use. And for the cash gift. That will definitely be put into our honeymoon fun. A honeymoon fun. Thanks again. Daniel and EJ. Danielle and EJ. That's not Daniel. Sorry, EJ.
And if I could play something sorry, for you. Sorry,
Daniel.
Please.
Yeah, this is Larry with Total Quality. Yeah, reloaded. My weight is right. Load number is 14166.
Enough said. Her load number is 14666. And she'll be here about 1:30, so that's good. Probably should keep that one off the air.
Some poor lady just like, was I on the radio?
That reminded me, because you guys said earlier, too, about your... My voicemail on the new album, and like, are those all for real?
Those are all for real.
Oh yeah, real
listen
ones.
To this one.
He saves them all the time.
My wife does.
Oh hell yeah, I saved all of them. I got another one for the next album. You ready? I just got this one the other day on my birthday. Be prepared for this one. Yeah, I save them all, and they get archived here. Let's see here, speaker, play.
What's up, Mike? Look, get over it. You're 33. Sell that fucking truck. Buy a goddamn minivan. Peace back. You have a couple kids. Get miserable like the rest of us. Hey, I want to let you know I talked to
you. That's pretty much all you need to know. I will start that one over again.
What's up, Mike? Look, get over it. You're 33. Sell that fucking truck. Buy a goddamn minivan. Peace back. You have a couple kids. Get miserable like the rest of us.
That's it. That's it. You know what? And I'm not there. I don't have any children yet. See, that's how they come right there. And I save all those voicemails. So that voicemail, every one of those is my life. Every single thing right there is literally my life. It is a mixture between God knows what. So if you ever play it, do we have speakers to play that or no? I mean, we're getting a call right now from Obama. Sorry, I'm on his hotline. He needs advice.
Advice on the ISIS.
He needs advice right now. It's actually what to do with Kanye West's death. Paper airplane beatdown. Weezer. Can we play stuff or not play stuff?
Sure.
You're good.
I don't know if we had speakers.
I don't
to
know
play
how much
stuff,
time we had left. Or
yeah. You got we go for about an hour, so we have about 20 minutes, give or take. So
we make
our rules. You know. It's called from,
you know,
Kanye.
No rules, no regulations.
Kanye calls and says, all right, guys, it's enough of my time. I'm like, okay.
This is all real, by the way.
Hey, y'all. I'm calling. Trey. Call me back.
Mike, this is Harold with State Farm Insurance. I'm working on a claim for,
Mike, I just paid $350 to have them go back out to the house over the weekend to write a full report.
Summa cum laude. My young over the mail, plus brothers is here, shit, and you're not fucked up.
Oh, man, what the fuck, man? I told you to come through.
That bullshit, Kelly. Fuck you, man. Fuck you.
You are never available to answer my call. All right. Seeing what you're doing tonight? Dinner? Beer?
Hi, this message is from Mike. This is Dr. Betsy.
Hi, Mike. This is Molly Dingett. I met you yesterday at the coffee shop. I am the Yellow Book rep.
Yeah, Mike, this is St. Charles City Police. Cortland just got here a little bit ago. We're getting ready to book him in, and his bond's going to be $600. We are actually right in here, so you know where we're at.
Good.
onda, Mike? Mike, Mike, Mikey, Mikey. Vas a decir que estás haciendo algún concierto ahorita, chavacán. Just give me a call, man. Damn. Long time that I don't hear you, mother blog. Alright, talk to you later. Bye. Are you being arrested? I'm trying to get to your house, and there are just massive amounts of police cars, and they have the road shut down. I've been sitting here for 5 minutes in the same spot.
Yeah, Mike, this is Larry. Hey, yeah, let's do it with that. I got that radian, the what, radian 4 thing, 4x30.
Hey, Mike, it's Lisa, the cleaning lady.
Mike, it's Susan over at Postcard Mania.
Hey, Mike, it's Samantha. I just want to tell you that if this is a stinking April Fool's joke, I'm going to kick your freaking ass, you and Johnny both. So I'm really hoping you call me back and you tell me that you are just joking and that this is an April Fool's joke. Okay, bye.
Michael, I mean, that was a really great message on your voicemail, but we don't give a fuck. All I'm saying, and all I'm saying, is if you come back to the States, you better have us a bottle of tequila.
And that was it. That was pretty much all of them.
That's what I'm asking. You know?
And let's give her a big round of applause.
For everybody that was actually part of that voicemail.
Now we'll tag everybody on Facebook with every voicemail in there.
Do that crown.
Every one of those is real because that is just how we do it around here. It's all real. None of it's made up except for Brian's penis size. That is made up.
The April Fool's joke. When I was on the way home, I was wondering what that was. Like, I was going to ask you if...
We were on a snowboarding trip on our way to Colorado, and that girl's boyfriend, he was the driver, and was pulled over, and what an idiot. Just had way too many things in the car that he shouldn't have in the car, and I was left on the side of the highway to fend for myself. I made it out alive, as you can see, but yeah, that was not an April Fool's joke. He spent about a week in jail and lost his car. Sorry, buddy.
He traded the Mutt Cuts for the bike.
It was actually the Mutt Cuts van. Mutt Cuts 10-4 over now.
It's a good time.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly get in these 2 hours.
Oh, God. You go out and totally redeem yourself.
True story about that movie, Dumb and Dumber. The very first opening scene, if you watch it, it is actually a panning screen of a street sign, and it's called Hope Street. That's in Providence, Rhode Island. And a fun fact is Exit 714 frontman Mike Cullen lived on Hope Street in Providence, Rhode Island. And that entire first section was filmed in Providence. So you can see the big blue bug, Hope Street. And
we'll talk to you later.
That's all I have on that.
Put another shrimp on the bar.
Yeah. G'day, mate.
You guys see the new one?
Austria.
No.
I couldn't bring myself to watch the new one.
I think it would be disappointing.
I couldn't even watch it, man.
There's no way that I'll ever watch that new one unless I stumble upon it and I get sucked into it and I watch it. But everybody has given it such bad reviews that I just can't let it kill the beauty of the first one.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to see it just to see it, but like...
You haven't seen it yet? Mm-mm. You're the movie guy. You can watch all the movies.
Well, yeah, I've been waiting for... Like, I didn't want to go pay $30 to see it in the theater. I figured I'd wait till DVD, but...
Gas Man. I mean, how in the hell do these guys know I got gas? They must be pros.
So many one-liners movies.
God, that movie. You know what? We successfully mated a Shih Tzu and a bulldog. Really? Yeah.
Called it bullshit.
We called it a bullshit.
I quote it all the time. I do the anytime I take any pills, I'm always like, "Pills are good.
Pills are good. This helps." Dog, Tartar. You know, tell us about yourself. You're 26.
26 years old.
You're a full-blown swinger.
Off the eHarmony profile.
Guitar for
Exit 45.
20 years, I guess it's been.
22 years now. On the road, hard. Living it. But I can tell you this. We go to a bar one time, true story. Guy sees me. He hasn't seen me in years. He's like, "Oh, my God, Mike, how you doing?" I'm like, "What's up, man?" Blah, blah. He stands on a stool at the bar
and yells out to everybody. He's like, listen up, everybody. This is my boy, and he plays in one of the best rock bands ever. They're called 64 West. I said, what in the hell are you talking about?
Tell him about the shakedown.
Oh, the shakedown?
Maybe not. I don't know if this microphone can pick up those kind of frequencies. But no, I'm not going to talk about the shakedown.
I thought it would be good, but then I thought deeper. And
yeah, then we thought that was a bad idea.
Bad things would happen.
So we're actually going to do a live prank phone call on the air right now. So go ahead, Upson, pull out your phone.
First ever for the prank
phone. I got it.
We're going to call Billy.
We're calling Billy. No, we're calling Billy. I got it. We're calling Billy. This is a guy that won $22,000 just days ago, but we love to put him right on the spot.
Hey, whenever you call him, ask him if he'll loan me $10,000 because I'm...
I'm going to tell him something bad happened. I got it. All right, this is a prank phone call with Exit 7.
Back up a little bit so we're not on the microphone. There you go.
Exit 714 prank phone call. This guy's name is Silly Billington.
There we go.
Silly Billington. This is going to be good.
Come on, Billy. Just pipe down. Nasty, Silly Billington will always answer in a time of need.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic
voice. Hold on, I'll call him again.
14805. This would be gold.
We're gonna do this. Would be gold. This would literally make the show if we got Billy Shillington on the phone. One more time.
Silly Billington is what.
Turd McFerguson is what we call
him. We also call him Butters.
And Banging No Bitches Billy.
Turd Ferguson, funny name.
Come on, Billy. What do you got going on right now? You banging some dudes?
Your call has been called.
Jesus. We'll check back in 2 minutes.
Maybe just stepped away for a minute.
I gotta actually use the little boy's room, so I'll be right back.
There you go. He's gonna step away, and then we come back. We'll try calling again.
I'll call him in the little boy's room. He's actually a sexual predator. He got caught peeing at the Mizzou game, and they labeled him now as a sex offender.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get rid of, too.
Billy the Butter Shill.
It's the proudest moment of his life. Divulge his
Anyway, what should we talk about now?
We gotta kill some. How long does it take him to pee?
Hours.
Maybe. Oh, that guy pees like Austin Powers, man.
That's another good one. I think they're supposed to be making a new Austin Powers movie. Which could be fun. Could be fun. Jeez. So, go ahead. What?
You can hear the.
Should we move the microphone closer to the bathroom door?
Well, one thing we have to. To get back on topic, one thing we haven't talked about is your experience opening for some guy named Slash in Springfield.
Yeah, that was that was super cool. We actually Bob Montgomery, our ex-manager, he's actually moving to Colorado.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think next week. But a great guy, one of our best friends.
Sure.
He actually entered us in like some online contest, live video contest, and our video we did was Marianne, and Bob submitted the video without us really even knowing it, and then like one day he just called us. He didn't even tell us about it or anything. It was, you know, it was crazy. And one day he called us like, hey, just letting you guys know you guys are gonna go down and play at the O'Reilly Center in Springfield and open for Slash, and we're like, shut up, dude. It's like, you know, you don't think, I mean, Slash is like obviously a rock and roll Hall of Famer, like, so it was super cool. But anyway, yeah, we did it. We went down there, we fucking rocked it with Slash for a night, partied it up in Springfield.
Roller derby. Is that what you're talking about with Slash?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. That's awesome.
One of the best times of my life. That was great.
Yeah. I mean, we were just backstage. Like, he would just be walking by. Although, they did not have a bar, but they did have a great coffee bar.
They had a coffee selection out of this world.
Best coffee. Best coffee bar I've ever seen.
It's like they brought that you can always bring in whatever you want. You know what I mean? It's to the artist's specifications. And Slash, on his rider, his specifications are he wants an entire coffee bar set up, which is weird.
No, does he probably not drink anymore?
He doesn't. That's why he's sober. Yeah. And he has kids with him on tour and stuff. Oh, yeah. And so they were kind of running around. He just got his, like, you know, his own bus.
Right, all jacked up on coffee.
He's pretty much all jacked up on green tea.
That's what he was, dude. But this was that was an elaborate fucking coffee bar.
I'm going to have some coffee right now.
Do it.
Grandpa.
That looks
coffee.
Like coffee. Uh-oh, Val's home.
Grandpa's old coffee
medicine. There you go.
Is she really?
Sorry.
Should we duck?
Get down. Get down.
Get down! And shut up! So we did.
So we did.
And there was this guy, and he kept yelling, "Get down! And shut up!" So we did.
So we did.
Hey, Val.
Hi.
Just talking about you on the radio.
Right now, you're in it.
You are in it to win it. We're actually trying to get Billy Shillington on the phone right now, but do you have your phone?
Yeah.
Can we call Billy from your phone? Maybe he'll think it's of urgency. We're about to prank him on the radio and tell him Upson's in prison. So, yeah, if we get a phone call from Val and Mike, it's sold.
I think he's honestly probably just passed out drunk.
Yeah, I think so too. It's the same guy that left me on the tee box at 1 o'clock for 2.5 hours because he was hammered and couldn't wake up. Yeah. So we have Val
here. Val's here. Val, would you like to say something to the people?
Val, whatever you've been thinking all day, whatever you've been feeling, let's get it out now. Expression!
Hello. I have nothing else to say.
It's just hello, and we're calling Billy from Val's phone now, everybody. Speaker!
Come on, Billy.
Billy, you never knew you were such a radio star until today. But you're so drunk that you're not going to get the call.
By the way, Billy, if you hear this, we love you.
Why'd you call me 15 times?
Billy, we just want to know how many cases
you want. God, that's so good.
We're sorry to the listening audience right now for Billy's lack of participation. He's a real asshole.
We'll wrap up here. Unfortunately, we didn't get the prank phone call. Next time you guys come on, we'll do it again.
We'll prank as many people as we can get. Yeah,
that'll be the whole show next time. Just prank calling people.
Now, Jerky Boys reunion.
There you go.
I'm above that motherfucker.
Oh, so you guys got the show February 28th. Mad Magician headlining, and then April 12th. Oh,
Billy Shillington, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. Yes. Okay, hold on, everybody. Be cool. Billy.
Yeah.
We got a, what are you doing right now, man?
I am in Pittsburgh after dinner.
Oh, that is not good news, buddy.
What's up?
Upson is in some serious trouble, and you're the only person that I really know that has any kind of cash right now.
What's the deal?
Upson hit somebody with his car tonight. And when I say somebody, the other person wasn't driving a car, they were walking on the side of the street. As a pedestrian.
Jesus.
And right now he is locked up, and the only way that he's getting out before Monday is if we bring in $4,200 to bail him out, and I do not have $4,200.
Well, I mean, all my cash is at the crib. I mean, I don't think anybody has any way to get in there.
I could probably break a window.
Well, I mean, I don't know, you're going to have to talk to Joe about that, make sure he's good. If he is, I'm fine with it.
Billy, you just won fucking Best Friend Award of the Year because you're on the radio right now, Billy.
You're on the radio!
And you just saved, you were just willing to risk $4,200 of your own money to save a worthless piece of shit
Brian Upson, and you just got Best Friend of the Ward 2015,
yes,
buddy.
Yes, you did, Billy, and thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're really actually on a radio interview right now, just so you know.
All right, well, I gotta get back to dinner. You know I'm always there for you.
Well, you killed it, Billy. You know what? We take back everything that we said about you on this radio show. You are the man.
You're gonna bail me out.
Right on. Well, you boys enjoy.
All right, buddy.
Love you, Bill.
Hey, that's what Exit 714 is all about right there, boys. $4,200, and he would have done it.
And I'm out.
He would have done it.
A flight risk.
He said, go fucking break into the house and take the cash. Good guys.
And actually, we should go break into his house.
That's, you know what? Let's call him back and say that was for real and we need the money.
The funny thing is that you said, you know, we won't be able to get out until Monday. So he could have just said, we'll just wait till Monday. He was going to throw over $4,200,
yeah, he was,
to get you out tonight instead of saying.
That's loyalty. You know what? And that's what we're all about, too. We're loyal. Val's loyal. We're all loyal.
All loyal.
And his address, if you're listening, is 504 Shillington Avenue.
No, it's definitely Butterball Avenue. It's in St. Charles.
There's a bunch of people that came into my house, and I don't know what they're doing here, but...
Billy, you know what? You're a dirt chicken at heart, and that's all that matters, buddy.
We want to thank you guys for having us on, by the way. Sorry,
Exit 714.
We didn't mean to, like, run around. Take over
my mom
show.
Just passed away, and I'd like to... We got to sign off now, so... Good night, everybody. That was the Howard Stern line, by the way. He goes, my mom just died. She got hit by a bus. Oh, by the way, it's 12:47, yeah. And the weather is slightly mild.
It's a nice day to go out for
private parts.
You remember that shit?
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta do the weather and you gotta do the time more often. He's like, oh, okay, I'll fit it in. He's like, my mom just died. Yeah. She got hit by a bus. Oh, by the way, it's 12:47. And the weather is mild.
Weather is mild. Look out for traffic. Well, thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it, man. It was a fun conversation. That's the thing we like about it, is just go wherever. And if we make prank phone calls and get $4,200 offered, hell yeah, man. It's good. So review the shows real quick. February 28th and April 12th, they're both at Mad Magician, right?
Correct. Yep.
Cool. So, and February 28th is with... Hollow Point Heroes, what are the other bands?
Trip 2,
and
Silent Hollow, and Val and the Boys.
Sweet.
Silent Hollow. And Seabass and the Fellas.
There you go. And then April 12th, Head PE and Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah, so that's, and I think Hollow Point's playing that show too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And I think we have another, we're definitely doing the other show, like, in Springfield, but I'm not sure the date on that one. It's the date before, I think it's the 11th. It's the day before, right?
Gotcha.
Just tune in.
I don't know.
Tune into the pod.
Like the whole Facebook, all that good stuff.
Yeah, just follow us on Facebook and stuff. We'll let you know.
Be good. Sweet. All right. Well,
peace out.
Mike and Brian, thanks. Exit 714 and the
714.
Beer Dog.
His original question in the very beginning. 714.
714. And the album's Bear Dog, not Beer Dog. So that's the call. So, guys, thanks for coming on. And
thank
episode
you.
47, man. That's a wrap.
All right.
Show me your fate, tell me okay, battle into this show. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.